Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're pleased to welcome back the second-ranking Republican in the Rhode Island House of Representatives, New Shoreham State Rep. Blake Phillippe. Thank you for joining us as our guest.
Thank you. New Shoreham, Charlestown, South Kingstown, and Westerly as well.
The Paw Sox have proposed building a $73 million stadium at the Apex site in Pawtucket. The team says it will pay more than half of that cost. The Paw Sox also say revenue from the stadium will be more than enough to pay back $38 million in public borrowing over 30 years. But critics say it's a bad idea to use public dollars on a stadium. House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello points out that no legislation has yet been introduced for this proposal, and he reacted very coolly to the team's proposal when I spoke with him Wednesday.
I am concentrating on the state budget and a lot of big issues that are important to a lot of my colleagues and the citizens of the state. I will look at this issue when I get a proposal. There's nothing before me, and it's May 17, so those facts speak for themselves at this point.
Not exactly a ringing endorsement. Representative Phillippe, before we get into the pro or con of this proposal, just tell us, do you think this proposal is going to get through the House of Representatives in this session?
It's late in the session, so I really don't know. I mean, it would certainly help it get through the session if the owners were willing to personally guarantee all the claimed benefits that the state may get. I just generally have a problem with centrally planned economics. And I think that the purported job benefits that the state is going to get from this won't be realized. And if they are, we're laterally moving a bunch of low-paying jobs from one part of Pawtucket to another. I just think the whole notion is problematic. The owners have plenty of cash. Let them put their money where their mouth is. And if they don't want to do that, let them personally guarantee the claim benefits that we're going to get.
How about that point of view, Maureen? What do you say to the points raised by Representative Phillippe?
Well, I think you make a good point in the sense that they should take some responsibility. But I think in terms of cost overruns and things like that, they've already said they will do this. I think this is a reasonable deal. I think it needs to be tweaked. But I do think it's something that we should pursue. I mean, this is really part of our civic culture. And, you know, why does everything have to be crummy? I realize that we're strapped for money in some regards, but we have to make investments in these kinds of things to improve the quality of life in this state. So I think with some leadership, and it looks like Mattiello is backing off, but I think the governor and the president of the Senate seem to be pretty pro or encouraged about it. I'm not sure how soon this is going to happen, but I think it will happen.
38 Studios still casts a long shadow in Rhode Island, Scott, and Speaker Mattiello barely beat his Republican opponent last year. So how do you see the outlook for this proposal?
I hope it doesn't come down to what people in Western Cranston think about this. I do think that Maureen alluded to the governor's role, and I think she's going to have to show some leadership. I think Governor Raimondo is going to have to be like Bruce Sundlin was on building the airport when the whole group of naysayers was out there, when Governor Almond lobbied to bring Fidelity here, and there were a whole bunch of naysayers on that. She's going to have to show leadership and spend some political capital, or this isn't going to happen. And I think that, look, these investors, they're not running a charity. It's a wonderful thing to have baseball here, but they're not running a charity. They have decided to put a lot of money in, much more than most minor league ball parks do. And I do think it would be a catalyst for some downtown renewal in Pawtucket, a city that's been ignored for a long time.
And we shouldn't be running a corporate charity either. And I think a lot of these handouts are just that.
In other news this week, two-term Coventry State Rep. Robert Bobby Nardolillo announced his Republican challenge to Democratic U.S. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse. Representative Nardolillo came in the same year as our guest, Representative Phillippe. They both first won election in 2014. Representative Phillippe, why does it make more sense for your colleague, Representative Nardolillo, to run for the U.S. Senate, a kind of uphill climb if he can make it, rather than for state rep where Republicans have had trouble maintaining their numbers in recent years and where Republicans now make up only 11 of 75 members in the House of Representatives?
I think that Bobby wants to run for the office where he feels he can make the most difference for the good of the people. And I believe he feels that running for U.S. Senate is that path. And I think he has a compelling argument in that we have a Republican administration and not one Republican in our delegation. And I think that is compelling. I've served with Bobby. I think he's a good man. He really is a man of the people. And he's extremely conscientious. You know, he's always thinking about how to better the lives of his constituents. And I think he wants to take that perspective to Washington.
Scott, as we know, former state Supreme Court Justice Robert Flanders is also considering running as a Republican for the seat held by Senator Whitehouse. If there is a Republican primary between Flanders and Bobby Nardolillo, how do you see the outlook?
It's interesting. On paper, you would say that Flanders, certainly intellectually and by terms of service and what he's done, should have a huge up on Nardolillo. However, let's look at what's happened to the modern Republican Party and the Trump side of the party, the anti-abortion, the gun enthusiasts, some of these folks. I think it would be a very interesting primary, and I think that you would see kind of a Barrington East Greenwich against Coventry and West Warwick and some of those places, Nardolillo and Flanders. On the other side, why does the Republican Party really want to have a primary for this? I mean, I'm going to believe Nardolillo has a chance against Sheldon Whitehouse when he shows me he can raise $1 million.
How about you, Maureen? What do you say?
I tend to agree. I mean, I think for Nardolillo, I think this is a good move because I think it ups his brand. And so in that sense, we need competition. I don't see him getting into a primary with Justice Flanders. I mean, I think that's a wasted effort. But I think it'll promote the idea of the GOP. And, you know, the idea, although, that we need to have someone in Rhode Island connected with the Trump administration, I think is a little bit problematic. Who knows how long it will be there?
Finally, crunch time is coming at the General Assembly. The House of Representatives takes the lead in revising the budget proposed by the governor earlier in the year, and lawmakers are looking at a $100 million shortfall in state revenue. Representative Phillippe, what is your thinking on where the cuts should come from to make up for that lack of revenue?
$100 million is a big problem, obviously. I'm not upstairs writing the budget, and I'm not down in the basement on the Finance Committee. I know the governor sought to achieve a lot of savings through reinventing Medicaid, and those savings didn't pan out. I know UHIP cost us an additional $14 million, and we didn't achieve a lot of the revenues that we thought through the taxing Amazon. So where are the cuts going to come from? I think that's going to be broad. I think it's going to be across all levels of government. I think it's going to be in social services. I'm concerned. $100 million is a big nut, and there's a lot of proposals out there that it might not go through this year because of that. Specifically, the governor's education plan. I know this makes the speaker's car tax plan a little difficult to pass. I'm sure he'll get something through, but I don't think the same which he originally planned.
I think he'll get the car tax plan through, but at a 6-year interim. I think he's got to do that. He's boxed in a corner.
See, I don't think it's a big number. It's $100 million on a $9 billion state budget. I think when they say 5% cut across the board from the agencies, a hiring freeze, and doing some things to healthcare in particular, perhaps education, that you can probably do some cuts and nips and plane this down to a reasonable size. I think the representative is right. We're not going to get the kind of programs, including this full tuition thing the governor wanted, free tuition, and, of course, the car tax cut's going to have to wait some of that.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And House Republican Whip Blake Phillippe.
Thank you, Rhode Island.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, follow our website at ripr.org.